Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives. Welcome to the French Press Podcast. This is episode 137. Joining us in studio, as always, is Eric Troyer.
Hey, hey.
And out of regular, surprise, surprise, Leighton is joining us.
What? Does my voice sound different?
It sounds different to me, and I'm sure it sounds so much better, too, to the listeners as well. It's much crisper, cleaner, stronger.
It feels good to sit behind a microphone again.
And normally you're in your car, right, when you're doing
normally,
these,
yeah. And so, yeah, there's a lot of... People don't know this, but I have to have my car turned off so that the engine isn't making noise. And that means I can't run the AC. And that means I'm sitting in a very hot vehicle, just sweating, when we're normally recording the podcast. And today, I get to sit in comfort and in high quality. And I'm enjoying every second of it.
We've got a couple different things to get to today. The graduation for UCS, our normal producer. You know, I guess you can't both be producers.
I'm not a producer.
Yeah, I just called you the producer. Theodore's the producer. He had his graduation two days ago on Friday. Right. Now he's on his senior trip to Washington, D.C. Eric is our news guy and also our...
Sound guy? Our sound effects guy.
Hopefully in the next several weeks, it'll evolve into that.
We did this a little bit different. Normally, we add the sound clips, the intro music beforehand, afterwards.
In post.
In post-production. That's what Theodore does. Well, we're making his job a lot easier. We're doing these sound clips as we're recording it.
Yes.
So there might be a hiccup here or there.
I don't know. I'm just pushing buttons.
But the positive thing is that we'll be able to have segment music more easily. And hopefully, Eric, he thinks he has a talent for putting in funny...
And it wasn't me chewing at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, that was me. I was chewing a carrot from El Cielito Lindo.
Cielito Lindo.
Cielito Lindo.
So Eric's going to be playing some funny sound clips and sound effects, maybe adding some background music here or there as the mood deserves. All right, before we jump into the topics... Is there any feedback that anybody got this past week?
Well, I didn't get... I mean, I think it was positive feedback. He wasn't very, specific. But I ran into a listener. And it was a dude... We have listeners down in Florida, Ruben. Did you know that?
Well, I did, because I actually ran into that same listener on that same day.
That's great. And he sounded like...
So we have a listener in Indiana, and one in Florida.
Oh, so many. So many listeners all over the U.S. from across this great nation listening to this special audio. Anyways, I met a fan, whatever, from Sarasota, Florida, and he didn't say whether or not he liked it, but, I mean, he did seem, happy to see me. So that's that's one positive, I guess.
He didn't come up and kick you in the shins?
No, he didn't. He actually referenced one of our past episodes, the Icy Roads episode, where we played that audio clip of me driving on the road.
I actually talked to him earlier, and he said that this is pretty much the only podcast he listens to.
Oh, my.
So I felt pretty special in that sense.
It's true. I mean, yeah. If we are the only ones, obviously, we do have a special relationship.
All right. Any other feedback, Eric? Have you any listener feedback?
The only one I ever had was in actually when I was out in Phoenix, and someone related to you occasionally listened. He's not from Phoenix, but he was there visiting
from East Coast to almost West Coast
to almost West.
So, but I think that's the only encounter I ever had.
So he referenced you, though, being on the podcast, or he talked about you being on?
He did mention or remember that I was on. This was at a time when I wasn't regular, but he did mention or bring up or remember when I was on from previous episodes.
Right.
Eric, I like that you're on the podcast. If you would ever happen to be in a relationship, would this cause any kind of problems? Would you drop back out of the podcast again?
It all depends when we... do the podcast.
So it's just the time that it takes to do it. Right. Not necessarily like she's not comfortable with dating someone that might divulge her personal life.
Right. No, it would be my...
We would never ask someone to do that. I mean, I would hope you would, but I would never ask you to.
Well, it's like you said, if we could bring them on as well if they're good with words.
Yeah.
And
right.
So well, if we keep on doing it on Sundays or late Thursday nights, that will pretty much work for you.
I don't think I'll
unless
have any
Thursday night is date night.
I don't think I'll have any.
None of us have anything going Thursday night.
The future is wide open.
I am not booked.
All right.
Also, actually, I almost forgot. I also ran into another fan that same night. This was Friday night at the graduation. During the ceremony, or right before the ceremony started, there was a lady. I am going to call her elderly, who happened to be sitting in front of me and Kyle. Me and Kyle were talking, and then she turned around and was like, those voices sound familiar. And then I was like, oh, it's like sounds like those voices from a podcast that I listen to.
That's impressive though that she's listening to a podcast.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. And no, she wasn't that old. But I'm just saying like old enough to be like a mom.
Well, there's like 18-year-old moms. I mean, if you want to get really specific, there's probably like 15-year-old moms.
Yeah.
So when you say elderly, it could mean anything.
Anything from 15 to 80. That's all. That's the age bracket that she was in. And so that was really cool.
All right. Well, let's get on to our topics. So topics for today. We do want to talk a little bit about Layton, just your trip here, the reason you came, some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We want to talk about graduation. Theodore graduated from high school.
Definitely.
I had an experience with some partial nudity that I want to get
to. We definitely want to get to that.
And then we've also got a tech tip for you as well that I know our listeners are going to love.
I'm getting excited about that already.
So let's start with Layton. The most strange thing about today's podcast is that you're here.
Yeah.
So... This isn't permanent, right?
No, I'm only here for the weekend. Oh, and by the way, this is Sunday. What is it? It's, May 15th.
It is.
2016.
Now keep in mind, that doesn't mean when you're listening to this, it'll be on the 15th of May.
That's right. Especially with Theodore being gone, we don't know how far out it'll be. It might not come out until after he gets back from...
From his trip. I'm gonna try to get it done.
Oh, good job, Ruben.
But here's the thing that preludes you coming is that Kyle, our friend Kyle Miller, told Eric and Johnny, hey, don't plan anything for Saturday. I've got some great plan for you guys. It's a surprise. It's gonna be fun. I promise you'll love it. And I always like to give Kyle a hard time that, you know, I like to let him think that his ideas aren't very good.
Right.
And that he, yeah. So I was honestly concerned I would be a little disappointed in what his plans were.
Right.
Things were going through my mind. I thought, he probably wants us to go...
Mini golfing.
Yes, mini golfing, or maybe like there's like a concert or something, which would be fine and fun, but not something I want to take up. Because he said, don't plan anything on Saturday. Leave the whole day open.
And that was just, like, too much for you.
It was too much, yeah. Right. And then I thought, you know what? He probably wants us to come over to one of his – he has two houses and probably has a little project that he wants us to, like, do in kind of in conjunction with something else he has planned. But he needs us for something.
Yeah, he wants to use you.
Yes. So,
typical Kyle.
To my surprise, Friday we're sitting at El Cielito Lindo. Eric's there my dad and brothers, and
it's lunchtime Friday.
It's lunchtime Friday. We're eating lunch, and Kyle's there too. Kyle's been off of work this whole week.
Yeah,
last week. and they said, "Oh, guys, hey, look over at the entrance. Look who's coming in." And lo and behold, it is Layton Yoder.
Yep.
And I was shocked.
Oh, everyone was. The entire restaurant erupted in applause. People were throwing rice and beans at me, just in celebration of my presence being there. And your whole table like stood up, and you guys each filed through and gave me hugs, and some of you wanted to give me kisses, but I said no, I just put Carmex on, and so I don't want to smear it. And yeah, it was a really, really great lunch. I had a really great time, and you guys were all surprised. Kyle was the only one that knew that I was coming out for this weekend. Even my own parents didn't know. Nobody knew except for Kyle.
I think Kyle told Eric.
Oh yeah, Kyle.
Because Eric, you had a work, you had a class scheduled.
Yeah, for Saturday. So I had to ask him what it was because I had plans already, and then he.
Which I would like to know more about your classes then too, because it seems you have like these classes are for your job, for mechanical stuff. But it seems you have classes like maybe a couple times a week is what it seems like.
Well, I have 14 classes scheduled this over the next couple of months, and they're always on Monday nights. But this was something completely different. It was just a Saturday. It was in Ann Arbor, and it was actually some free training. You just had to register.
But some then free I actually, training, so I could get some of that training for free.
Sure, if you register, yes.
What's it take to register?
Just you like go online and fill out some information.
Well, there's opportunities everywhere.
But I actually changed my plans as you were here. We spent the weekend together.
You passed up some free training just for me, Eric. I feel so honored.
Well, that was very honorable of Eric to do. But what was more honorable, I think, is Johnny, who is a crazy fisherman.
Actually, he is an avid fisherman.
Gave up fishing.
We thought about having an intervention with him and his fishing.
We did. Yes. I mean, we didn't, but we talked about it.
Thankfully, now we don't have to because we see that his priorities are right.
Yeah. I told him, here's the truth, Johnny. I don't care that you fish as much as you do, but the thing is, the less you hang out with us, with your friends, you know, we're not going to be that close anymore. You know, the upside is you'll be closer with your fisherman friends, but you won't be close with, you know, the more important people.
Right, like me.
So it's not a right and wrong issue, but it is an issue of choosing your friends.
Exactly. Exactly. So I got in at like 5 o'clock Friday morning after driving like 10 or 11 hours. I think it was a 10-hour drive, but on the clock because of time change or because I switched time zones, it's like 11 hours theoretically. But literally it was 10 hours mm-hmm. of driving time. And I decided that I wanted to spend the night at Kyle's so that my parents have no idea that I'm home. Because I do want to sleep, but I also wanted to surprise them. Mm-hmm. And they would see my car in the driveway. So I slept at Kyle's house for the night, or for the morning, I guess. And then I slept there for about 4.5 hours. And then I hung out with Kyle a little bit. And I also did a little surprise at PWI. I went through, did a little tour. And, you know, gave everyone hugs and kisses and you know how coworkers are.
Especially welders.
Oh, yeah. Everything's just...
Sentimental bunch.
Yep. They're all hot and heavy. And did that. And then after, I decided, you know what? It's time to go and surprise my mother. And I kind of gave her... I went and bought some flowers for her and showed up, walked in the door... She didn't hear me coming in, whatever. And I was like, Mom, happy Mother's Day. And she turns around from her computer and just loses it. It took me a little bit to calm her down. And I actually got it all on video.
Cool.
Yeah.
Can we put it on the website?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't see why not.
Doesn't need to be edited for anything?
I don't, not that I remember.
Okay.
Anyways, had a really, yeah, surprised her. It worked great. And then I also surprised Katie. And then after I was done surprising my family, then I went out to lunch with you guys at the Mexican restaurant. Oh, that was cool. And then after that, you know what I did, Ruben? Like a good...
I'm guessing you went home and slept.
No. No.
Because that's what a weaker man would have done.
No. I'm a stronger man. So what do strong men do?
Well, literally strong men... eat well and work out.
Okay. Well, I
figuratively
did partial of the working out part. My sister still hadn't seen me like at that point. Okay. She didn't know that I was in town. So I surprised her by going over to her house and mowing her lawn because she's still at work. So I mowed her lawn because that's something she had to do. And it's a good thing I did because, dude, yesterday, oh,
it was miserable.
It was miserable. We tried to go a truck pull, and we only lasted like 5 minutes.
We can talk about it then, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we are going to talk about that. Anyway, so I got to surprise her with a freshly mowed lawn. That was really cool. And then after that, it was time to get ready for the graduation. And so, I mean, Ruben, were you at the ceremony?
Yes, I definitely was there.
Okay.
I was sitting up front. I was a relative of Theodore.
Oh, would I have been allowed to sit up there too?
No, it was just for... No, cousins aren't close enough. It needs to be parents, grandparents, and siblings.
Okay. Well, at a school like UCS, you know, where everyone's pretty much related, if you went by cousins, like...
Half of it would be the front half would be family.
Yeah, it would be ridiculous. So we can't do that.
No.
And then I begged the ushers, like, you know, please, you know, I'm pretty much like one of Theodore's brothers, so you might as well let me up there. And they're like, no, you need to sit in the back with Kyle. Kyle gave the benediction.
He did.
And he did pretty good.
He did.
But I'd like to focus in on Theodore's speech. What did you think?
Honestly, he had been preparing this for a while, and his attitude against school is sometimes a little harsh. And he can say things more crassly than I think what he intends to.
Okay.
And so I still think he said what he wanted to say, but it was more mellowed down, and it wasn't crass. It was respectful. And I thought he did. Yeah, I thought he did a great job.
Right.
I agreed with what he said, and I liked it.
Good. I also, when I graduated, I also gave the speech. I don't know. I think it's like the reflection speech. I think that's what they call it. And he said that Mr. Yoder has all of those like past speeches on file.
Hold it.
And so he said he got to read mine.
Really?
And that was weird.
Wow.
I don't know. He said it was good. I can barely remember it, but he said that like it was the best one out of all of them. And so that he read in the past. Yeah. And I just want listeners to know that.
Well, here's something else.
We should read it on air sometime.
Oh, yeah.
That would be good. I don't know when this started, but at least for this year and the previous year, I'm pretty sure as well, the principal needs to read the speeches before they're approved.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure that was not done back when I was in high school.
I think you're right.
I'm not sure when or why it started.
I think I know why. Well, but I don't know when.
Pray tell us.
I think it's just because, like, some of the guys that were giving those speeches might have slipped some things in that they didn't really deem as appropriate, mm-hmm. Or something. I don't know.
What keeps someone from just writing two speeches and giving one to the principal and then...
Yeah, that could happen, but that's a lot of effort to just throw in a couple innuendos or...
Right. Hopefully they trust the person they picked to give the speech, so...
Yeah. But yeah, Theodore, I thought he did very well with his speech. Yeah, and he seemed like a gentleman, and, you know, he kept his cool. He didn't seem that nervous.
He didn't.
Now, if we'd be
I know he was, but he didn't.
If we'd be professional, we would have some sound bites from the... from the speech.
And that's something you'll be bringing to us then.
Like in
upcoming episodes, we'll have little clips and you'll like just bloop.
Right.
Click it on the iPad.
Right.
Were you there by chance?
I was not.
I don't blame you. Pretty much I don't go unless it's flesh and blood or a really, really close friend.
So you'll only have to go one more time.
Yeah.
You only have one more brother. That's mm-hmm. Does him graduating make you feel old?
Theodore?
Yeah.
No, I felt old for a long time.
Okay, good.
You know, something made me feel really old this week. We got a letter in the mail, and it was an invitation to a graduation open house of a kid that we used to babysit. Like, we used to babysit him when he was too young to go to school, and now he's graduating. It's like, I felt really old.
I'm sorry, Eric.
Yeah.
But don't worry, your beard makes you look younger.
Right. At the open house afterwards. There's always an open house.
Yeah.
Did you? I know you were there, Layton. You weren't there though, Eric.
No.
I do have a picture of Eric of Theodore's table, and it was very Theodore-esque. There was things stacked in pyramid. It was clean and neat. So we'll have a picture of that.
The chocolates that he had available there were really, really good.
Now, looking back on high school and stuff, isn't it kind of ironic though? I mean, because when you graduate, it's like a big deal. But looking back, it's like the least impressive thing you'll do with your life. It's like almost, you know
what
saying?
Is impressive though is finishing school.
Well, not really.
I mean, it's true that 99% of people do it, or at least probably more like 85% of people do graduate from high school, but it's still an impressive accomplishment.
Right.
You did finish it. And I think there's something to be said about finishing something.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not a good thing, but it just seems, at the time it's a big deal, but looking back, it's wildly overrated.
Wildly overrated.
You're talking about the graduation ceremony?
Yeah, just everything. I mean, and it is a big accomplishment, but it's once you get a real job and like actually have to work and do something, it's school is not that impressive.
Okay.
Well, what's been like? Give me a list of like three things that have been like more impressive accomplishments than finishing school.
In my life? I don't yes. have any.
In your life.
So wait, you're saying that you don't have anything more impressive than school?
Not yet.
But you also say that finishing school isn't that impressive.
No, okay, well, I will say my career is much more difficult, much more impressive than anything I did in high school.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot more intensive.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So wait, you have then?
I'm not demeaning anyone that graduates from high school.
Right.
Well, just hold on. Did you graduate from high school?
I did. Yes.
My word. No, I realize though that life does like real life does not start until after you graduate.
Yeah.
And that isn't. And don't feel. I mean, we have quite a few young listeners that are still in school. And so I say that not to say, like, you're not living life. No, you are living life. And think of it as an encouragement. Like, hey, you will be able to experience things that are way that will affect you just as much, if not more, after you graduate.
Because of going through school? Or just you're saying you have to look forward to?
You have something to look forward
yeah.
to.
Well, and back to the importance of school. I do use stuff I learned in my English class every day at work. And if you end up doing any kind of speaking or any kind of – if you write with your job or need to organize things like lists of things or need to give a talk about something at work.
Right.
Like we're trying to push this new project. Well, you're going to use stuff you learn in school.
Mm-hmm.
Outlines.
Notes.
Putting your thoughts together on paper in a clear, concise way. So I do think it's so important. I think English and math are super important in school.
English and math, I'd say, are the two most important. But also the worldview class.
I never had that.
Oh, that's one of my favorite
Which
classes.
Is probably why it took me 6 or 7 years out of high school to really become a libertarian.
Yeah, you would have become a libertarian a lot sooner. That's great.
What were you starting to say, Eric?
No, I was just agreeing with – I definitely agree with the math thing because everything – I mean, looking at it from like an engineering – standpoint where it's everything that's built or designed, math is just universal in life. I mean, it's awesome how much math is like the number one thing. I probably should have done a little better in English and spelling, especially now that I'm speaking for a podcast.
Oh, I think
we can tell.
Yeah.
No, but for me, I use the English stuff more than I do the math stuff. I do use math in my job. I work on websites, and so there is math involved as far as width of images, width of different elements on the website, but it's very simple math. It's usually just adding. Sometimes there's percentages involved, but usually it's just numbers, like adding, trying to get the double the width or a third of the width, stuff like that.
Right.
Now, looking back in high school, it would be fun if you would have like a, I mean, if you would be able to do it over again and have a specific plan, as far as either college or
a field that you wanted to go.
Right.
If you would
specialize in something, because I definitely would have. I would probably try to be an electrical engineer or something along that line if I would be, in junior high right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I would definitely do I would definitely gear stuff toward that and then probably do some stuff after high school.
Cool.
Along that line.
Mm-hmm. But even so, like, even though you didn't do those things, you're still doing them now. Or you're doing some of this, like.
You're still able to do stuff,
You're still able to do the things that you want to do now.
Right.
I mean, so it's not like, yeah. Whatever.
All right. Anything else?
That makes sense.
Anything else from graduation, the open house?
Lots
of people were there. Was it difficult? We were wanting to hang out Friday night with Layton after the graduation and the ceremony.
Right.
And we ended up not hanging out because you were doing something with some other cousins.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But we had warned you and said, hey, I think Kyle told you this. Layton, you're going to have to be a jerk to someone.
Yes.
You're going to have to just pull away from someone and say, I gotta go.
I never actually had to like cut a conversation short when I wanted to leave, but I did like have to like walk by some people or like see some people across the room like, oh man, I would love to talk with them, but I do have to go. Like, I have to call it quits sometime. So, I mean, I didn't do it to someone, but I did it at someone. Without them knowing it.
Okay. We got graduation out of the way. All right. I'm ready for my story.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Here we go. Well, do you think we should take a break?
We maybe
before
should.
Before we get into the partial nudity.
Sure.
Okay.
Let's take a break. Right. Eric, I don't think we have any music for you to play, so... All right, we're back. We got coffee on the table now.
Yay.
And so, the story about partial nudity. And I promise you that if there's children there, you can leave. They can listen. It's not going to be that bad. Not that graphic.
Okay.
I'm not even sure if I should say where this happened. Although, okay. If I decide later that I shouldn't have, we'll just bleep that part out. But it was... at Main Street Coffee House.
Oh my. That's aren't a place that the... I really enjoy some partial nudity.
Aren't they one of the sponsors?
Well, they were at some times, yeah. And I trust that this won't be a problem. but I need to start this off by saying that Main Street redid the restroom a few months ago, and it is beautiful now. They have the floor is like almost, I think it's tiled floor, and it's pretty much everything in there is automatic. You open up the door, bloop, the lights go on as you step in. You go and take care of business, and then when you get over to the sink, you just simply put your hands underneath the
oh, there's a faucet, sensor.
And it just starts pouring water.
Oh.
I guess the soap isn't automatic. The soap, you need to like push a button for the, or like a...
Well, you can't have everything.
But the paper towel is automatic. You just lift your hand under the paper towel.
Oh, my word.
And there it goes again. So I've been doing a lot of work at Main Street the last few weeks, working on their website, actually. We're getting close to having it done. Maybe by the time you listen to this, it will be done.
Oh.
Possibly.
Ruben, it's good to set goals like that, and I'm very proud of you that you said that maybe by the time this podcast is out that... So go online to www.mainstreetcoffeehouse.com.
Mainstreetroasters.com. You can forget the www.
You do all that and see if he's done.
And you can see. I mean, if it looks awful, then it obviously hasn't been redone.
And if it looks great,
but if it looks,
then it was.
If it looks tasty and gives you the desire to drink some coffee or maybe nibble on a coffee cake.
Or even order some coffee beans.
Or maybe the London Fog tea is also very delicious, which you couldn't buy that on the website. You have to go into the store for that. I can still hear you crunching, Layton.
I'm sorry. I'm eating some chips from that Mexican restaurant.
All right. So let's I give you kind of a setting. I was doing some work up there, and then I was wrapping up, getting ready to leave, and I thought, well, I should go to the restroom.
Use the facilities.
Use the facilities. So I had my backpack. I set my backpack down just at an empty table on a chair. Napanee is pretty low. There's a low crime rate, you know, so I feel pretty safe leaving my backpack there for a few minutes. So I left it there, went over to the restroom, opened up the door, and I start opening up the door. And it, because there's automatic lights, it happens maybe half the time the lights are off. And as I step in, bloop, the lights go on. Well, the lights were on. And as I stepped in, the first thing I see is the sink. By the way, this bathroom is so big, you'd almost have a conference in here. I mean, it's big. There's room for 8 to 10 people in here if you really need to. Not use the facility, but you could. There's standing room in there for 8 to 10 people. Anyway.
Conference room in the bathroom.
So I first, when I open it up, I'm looking at the sink. And as I pivot my view over to where the toilet is, there is a person sitting on the toilet, and it's... I don't know how much... I didn't see anything other than a little... some side upper legs.
Some white silhouette.
Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I think so. One would assume that that's what would be seen.
Yes, and that was all that was seen.
Right.
Did I speak of the gender of the person?
No, I was wondering if this was a...
Should I say the gender? The age was between 18 to 28. Like, I couldn't really tell. And honestly, it happened so quickly.
Could you tell what gender?
Yes, I knew what gender.
Well, then you saw too much.
But it did happen so quick. Like, as soon as I saw, boom, I saw there was a person there. I glanced back and said, oh my goodness. And I kind of gasped and turned the other way as quickly as is humanly possible. And the person said, I'm so sorry.
In a deep voice like that?
No, I guess I'll just, yeah, it was a female.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and she said, I'm so sorry. Here's the thing. I don't know who it was, which I'm glad I don't know. Right. I'm thankful for
that. And she doesn't know you either.
Well, that's what I don't know, because it was so brief and fleeting. I didn't really see. I could not tell you who the person was if I'd see them again.
Really?
That's the problem.
That's a beautiful thing.
Not if they know who I am. I immediately left after that. I didn't wait for the person to come out. I walked out the door. And picked up my backpack and never returned. But I don't know, it even could have been a worker there. Like, that's how unsure I am of who it could be.
Well, if that person is really concerned about who you are, if they know who you are, they can go on the podcast and listen to this.
Well, I'm sure that it's not a podcast listener.
Okay.
I'm sure of that. And here's the other thing that will really make me stick out in a crowd. I was wearing my flannel jacket. Isn't a popular look anymore.
It's not.
You do look like a lesbian trucker when you wear that red. You look like Michael Moore. It's like the red flannel one.
Yeah. And so I know I will be recognizable if I wear that jacket again. So my first thoughts was...
Burn the jacket.
Well, burn the jacket and I'll get a really short haircut. And I'll completely change my look. Maybe get some plastic surgery. Just completely change my look.
It sounds like you're trying... Like... It sounds like you're a criminal on the run.
Well, that's how I feel. I don't want to ever meet up with this person, her knowing who I am.
Really? You wouldn't want to walk up to her and be like, hey, you remember that time?
It's probably much worse for her, though.
Well, and this is what's weird, too. I mean, I opened the door up slowly. It wasn't like I barged in. There was never a gasp or a scream or anything. And I even went later, I tested the lock on the door to make sure the lock was working, and it is working.
Okay. So she forgot to lock, and she didn't say anything when you slowly entered the room.
Yeah.
It's pretty much her fault. Well,
Anyway, did I say anything that should be bleeped out or removed from this?
I don't think you crossed any lines that...
Can't be uncrossed?
Or any lines that were unnecessarily uncrossed for the sake of the story.
I think the biggest question is, why didn't she scream? Like, why was there not a shriek of terror?
I mean, maybe because the door opened up so quietly... That she maybe didn't recognize until I said, oh my goodness. We definitely made eye contact.
Oh. Eye contact is the worst in a bathroom.
But it was so brief. I mean, like, the eye contact was not more than a hundredth of a second.
The only thing that's worse than that is when you're in a public restroom and you make eye contact through the little gap in the stall. You know, that's pretty awkward, too.
You know what's interesting? I never talked about this on the podcast, but this is very interesting. And somewhat ironic, I actually had been walked on into the previous Main Street bathroom before it was redone. Now, and the person who walked in felt horrible, and unnecessarily so, because all I was doing was just washing my hands. I had purposely not locked the door. And it was someone that I knew. I'm not going to say who it was, but it was another guy. But they felt like they were shocked and horrified as well as right. I was when I did this just this past week. But for my part, I wasn't hoping for someone to walk in, but I also wasn't concerned. I didn't care if someone did walk in because I was just washing my hands.
Right. Actually, over in Poland, there's one of the houses of the missionaries there. They don't have a lock on the door, and so they just have the rule: if the light is on in the bathroom, then that means it is occupied. And I forgot this, And so I happened to walk in on a female, and it was kind of awkward. It wasn't one of the mission trippers.
Oh, good. I'd say that, I mean, that was a huge blessing.
That was a blessing. And so then I immediately left, whatever. And then when she came out, because I still needed to use the bathroom, mm-hmm. when she came out, I was like, she was like, oh, no, it's fine. It's just, you know, it's, and she just reminded me, you know, if the light is on, then that means it's occupied. I was like, okay.
Like, how far did you get into the room?
Not far.
Okay.
I had just opened the door, peeked in, and, like, freaked out. and then I used the restroom, and then I had finished using the restroom, and I was in the process of washing my hands in that same bathroom. And then one of the mission trip girls walked in. So that, thankfully, that whole situation was avoided. But it's like, hey, I'm not the only one.
Hey.
Like, yeah.
Now, speaking of restrooms, I've always felt like a public restroom should be like a Hollister store. It should be dimly lit, heavily perfumed, and with loud music playing.
I would
public
agree
restroom?
With that.
Yes. That's the one place where you want, like, loud rock music playing. You, yeah. There's no chance of conversation. And you want it lit just well enough to, you know, you don't
see what you're doing.
You don't want to, yeah, because you don't want to happen to see if it hasn't been cleaned the greatest. You want to assume it has been. I would much rather assume it has been cleaned than to see it hasn't been.
Because right. Most of them are lit up like a operating room with fluorescent lighting, and mm-hmm. and it's, like, deathly quiet, and everything echoes, and it's just a horrible environment.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all of my story.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm glad you got through it, and hopefully she doesn't come back and sue you.
Should I almost mentioned something to the staff that, hey, this incident happened.
I don't think
it was necessary.
I think you're right. Yeah. I don't think it.
Because, well, never mind.
If you would have done it, if you would have said something to the staff, I mean, some of them could have taken it as, like, you were bragging or something like that.
I might need to bleep that, because okay. That would just put ludicrous things in people's minds.
Okay.
I won't bleep it, but that is... All right. No. All right, so, speaking of partial nudity, I know our tech tip actually has to do with this as well.
Yeah.
Layton brought this to our attention. There is this website called vidangel.com. Did you not know this is where I was going?
Yeah, I did.
But do you want to introduce it? I've got the pricing for it, but do you want to introduce it?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. First of all, I don't think Ruben did the best job of introducing it because he's like, speaking of partial nudity, there's this website. It's called VidAngel. And it sounds like a really nefarious website.
That wasn't even my intent.
I know. Like,
sometimes I might try to say that on purposely, but I actually that was not my intent this time.
Right. It's just hearing you say it made me think that, you know, this could be a like a pornographic website or something like that. No, this is a website that you can go to. And you can, you can stream movies and videos on it.
Movies and TV shows.
Movies and TV shows. Yes. Sorry. And what's great is that their hook or kind of like big selling point is the fact that you can filter the content, like of what is in each movie or episode that you watch.
And I do have an example. So okay. Let's say you've heard that Gladiator is a great movie. It's rated R for violence. And I guess there might be a little bit of nudity. I think I've seen this before and I don't remember any nudity, but it says okay. There's something there. All
right.
So anyway, but you can, it gives, there's movie filters and there's a checklist of things you can uncheck to have taken out of the movie. And so there's checklists for, sex, kissing. There's a checklist for violence, non-graphic violence, graphic violence as well. And you can just uncheck what you don't want in there.
And isn't same there one for the language as well?
For language as well. It can be profanity. It can be sexual language. It can be discriminatory. So there's a bunch of different filters in here. And so you can simply uncheck what you don't want to see.
Right.
And the pricing is actually incredible. The pricing works a little weird, and I think it's because I don't want to get into details, but because they are changing what you're seeing, they need to...
They're modifying the content.
They're modifying the content, and so you pretty much, you buy it for $20, and then you can sell it back to them for $18. So it ends up costing $2 if you sell it back to them.
Okay.
And you have 24 hours to do this, so it's almost like a rental. You'd almost like rent it for $2, but you pay $20, and then they credit you back $18.
Okay.
And it's like that for movies and TV episodes. So if there's this movie that you really want to see but maybe has a lot of profanity in it.
Or a show,
you can just uncheck the profanity. And I haven't done it yet, but I'm
You haven't unchecked the profanity?
No, I haven't.
No, you haven't tried
the website. I haven't
tried
VidAngel yet, but I do intend to try it. So maybe there's a movie that maybe has one scene in it that you don't want to see. You can just simply... uncheck that, and you'll be seeing it without that scene.
Yeah, but they used to do this a lot with like DVDs and stuff like that. I mean, I remember watching like modified movie clips, like where they'll like mouth something that you're pretty sure was a curse word, and like they made him say something ridiculous, like "What in the ice cream cones are you doing?" Like just really like off the wall stuff. It's great that they finally brought that to, like, a streaming service.
The 21st century.
Yes, they've modernized it.
Yeah. I don't know. So it's like iTunes. It's a library of movies and TV shows. Mm-hmm. And so you can just check which ones you want to see, and then you can watch them. And then definitely you can keep it, too, for the $20. But if you sell it back, you're credited $18. That's for the HD. The standard definition is a little bit cheaper.
Oh, okay.
So,
VidAngel.
VidAngel.com. I'm excited to try it out. I really am. Okay, so along with Leighton being here this weekend, last night we went to the Napanee truck pull.
Oh, yeah. And guess who was in that truck pull?
Our very own producer, Theodore Hostetler.
Oh, yeah.
And he placed.
He did.
Got third place.
He got third?
Yeah.
You get like a ribbon or some kind of certificate.
I don't know. He was hanging out with us afterwards.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if he forfeited his prize then to the runner up, or if he got it but wasn't standing on the pedestal.
I don't know.
Like the figurative pedestal.
Which I mean, I don't know like what other trucks were in his class or whatever, but was he expecting to place even?
I don't think so. This is the first one he's pulled at.
Oh, okay.
This was his first pull.
But he goes to truck pulls, I thought.
Yeah, he watches them.
But it's the first one.
Kind of like run. I watch the NBA, but I don't play in the NBA.
Right. And imagine if you placed third.
In the NBA.
In the NBA. That would be amazing.
So that was pretty cool. We didn't see his pull because we got there too late.
Yeah, we missed it. He was like the first one.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And we also didn't stay very long after that either.
Right, because it was so cold
yesterday. It was very chilly.
Oh.
But we did contribute. $5 per ticket.
To the cause.
Yeah.
Does that money go somewhere? Like
to next year's
fund.
Actually, I have no idea.
To next year's
fund. There's cost involved.
Yeah.
They have to make the track. They have to...
get the barriers and
all
that stuff. Yeah. But yeah, it was a fun thing.
Eric, would you ever... You're a mechanic. Does that intrigue you, getting into truck pulls?
I've never really been into the trucks. I mean, I don't know. I always just have a hard time building something and then trying to break it just by pulling something 300 feet. I mean, I could get into like a fast car. I would be more into like a 10-second car than a truck that.
This is a little off topic, but what is your view? Do you look down on Tesla cars or like electric cars? Like, do you think that they are so
overrated?
Or just the hype. Just get real. This is what cars are: machines that burn fossil fuels.
Do you feel that they actually are more efficient?
Well, I don't have. I like electric cars. I mean, I like the technology and everything else. I just want the market to dictate what companies build and sell, not the government because of the incentives. I mean, eventually, yeah, there will be a market for electric cars, and they will be part of the future, but. I don't like when it's only because of tax breaks and incentives that that's making it popular.
You don't want to help pay for those electric cars.
Right, because hybrids are very low-selling cars, very unpopular. It's still not what most of the country wants, especially with gas prices as cheap as they are.
Yeah.
It's not – we still have plenty of fuel to burn.
So it's not like you think that these electric cars, they're a joke.
No, so a lot of the technology is really cool. But I just want the free market to determine what – you know, because the government is setting all sorts of standards – and making the automotive manufacturers do all sorts of stuff that they wouldn't be doing in a normal competitive market.
Could you see, like, in, let's say, like, 50 years from now, if you, like, would mass service shop, service center where you work now, in 50 years from now, like, do you, like, would you see that, yeah, we service electric cars about as much as we do normal engine cars?
Well, in 50 years, that's a long time. They'll be, like, fully automated self-driving cars in 50 years.
Well, my point is, though, I mean, is that something that would then be – is that something that just the normal mechanic that works on gasoline vehicles now would also be working on the electric ones?
Well, it'll slowly transition over. But, yeah, I mean, people – I mean, you have to keep up with training, and it changes every year. But, yeah, we would definitely be able to work on them. But, yeah, it won't be – in 10 years down the road, I mean, there will be self-driving cars very shortly.
Right.
And then you could sleep late and all the way from Arkansas to Indiana.
That would be so nice. I mean, or all the way from Hillcrest to Indiana.
Well, that was what I was implying.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm looking forward to the most about self-driving cars.
Is just being able to sleep on long trips.
Well, sleep on long trips or maybe working while it's driving.
So do you want the future to head that way?
Okay, yes, I want that ability, I want that technology, but I don't want the government to say you are not allowed to drive cars anymore. They need to all be self-driving. You need a special license if you're planning on actually driving your car. That's not what I want.
Okay.
But I want the option to have my car drive and have me either take sleep or sit back and work on my computer.
So, okay, question. So you'd trust the car to drive itself? I mean, obviously, if all the... they get all the kinks worked out and everything.
Yes.
After all that.
Yes.
So once you are willing to trust it to drive you on a long trip or just to on your commute or something like that, I don't know, to work, would you be comfortable with telling the car, okay, I need you to drive to school and pick up my child and drive them to my house?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No question.
All right. I like the idea of it, but it seems weird. I don't like the fact that an adult is not with a child.
You might still have to be a certain age before you could operate a driverless vehicle.
Yeah.
Right. But I could just, I mean, but.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
It could happen.
Your kids will probably have chips in them anyway, so you can always tell where they're at.
That's, yeah, because you need to keep track of them. Like, yeah. Verify, like, there needs to be a scanner on the door of whatever vehicle you have that, you know, says, like, yep, the right person hopped in.
Well, what's more likely, though, is that by the time we have children, they'll probably never come out of the pods they were born in, and they'll just, like, attend school virtually and work virtually.
And then they graduate, then they get out of those pods and real life starts.
No, they'll just remain in there.
Oh, forever.
Okay.
It'll be like a lot like The Matrix.
I see.
Which is probably a movie you can check out on vidangel.com.
And unbleep those, the offensive language. Wait, did I say unbleep? Bleep it.
Bleep it.
Just bleep it.
All right. I don't have anything else on the agenda. Leighton, do you want to tell us a little bit about where you're going, what's happening with you, and then we've got some news. Eric?
I have a couple of stories.
Okay. Well, I do want to hear the music, even though you hate it.
Okay. Well, as far as, like, my plans yet, we're recording this on Sunday, and I don't have a shift at Hillcrest. My shift doesn't start until Tuesday afternoon, so that means I don't have to leave until tomorrow afternoon, so I still have another day yet here in Indiana, so that'll be great, just hanging out. And, you know, this whole weekend just so far has just been really refreshing for me, just seeing everyone back home. This is the first time that I've been home in 5.5 months.
Wow.
So, yeah, this makes me excited to come back and stay.
So you are looking forward to the return?
I'm looking forward to the return, but I'm not looking forward to leaving Hillcrest.
I get that. I'm sure it'll be tough.
It's going to be pretty bittersweet. But, like, I am ready to, like, move on.
And you said you were back at Paul's Welding where you previously were employed.
Yep.
Is that... Do you have an idea yet what you want to do when you get back for work?
Yeah, and I'm considering going back to Paul's.
But it's not you haven't made up your mind 100% yet.
Right. Right. I mean, I'm trying to look at this as a time like me coming back is a good time to consider all my options of what I could do. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to do that. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
And your farewell or your return then the 28th or the 18th of July.
The 23rd.
23rd of July.
Friday the 22nd.
Okay.
Of July. I'm going to have my farewell.
And is it normal, like right after the farewell, do you then drive home?
The next day. Like, you usually leave. That's okay. When you leave.
All right.
Yep. And it's crazy. So I'm going to be 1 week from 23 then.
Whoa, dude, you're getting old too.
Yeah, I'm getting old. Getting real old.
All right, well, that's good.
Decrepit.
All right, Eric Troyer, play us some music.
And I'm not responsible for the news clip. We'll definitely change it in the future. I don't like it.
It's really loud.
The more you listen to it, though, the better it gets.
The second half is better than the first.
All right, I think this is where we start.
Okay. All right, welcome to the French Press Podcast News. Here's what's happening. Okay, our first story actually involves a car. Subaru has a recall on their Outback and Legacy models, that 2015 to 17. There's 48,000 vehicles that it affects, and it's because the steering may fail.
And the steering may fail.
Right. I'll just read.
See, what's worse, a self-driving car that doesn't listen or steering that may fail?
Right.
I don't see the difference.
The car maker said that because the steering column in affected vehicles may have been improperly built, turning the steering wheel may have no effect on the direction of the wheels. It warned owners not to drive the vehicles until they were inspected or repaired. I guess it's bad enough they don't even want them to drive them to the dealer. They're like, just park them. We'll come out, look at them.
How many cars was it again?
Just 48,000. It's not. Okay. It sounds like a lot, but it's not. It's not very many vehicles. I mean,
is this ever something that you guys would get called out on? Because Subaru, like, I can't imagine that they'd have their own technicians.
No, we can do everything except we don't do recalls, especially related to safety, because we're not.
So you need to be a special
certified.
It'd only be a dealership that could do the safety recalls. But Subaru said that an incorrect setting of a tool making a steering part could allow the steering wheel to rotate freely, leading a driver to lose the ability to steer the vehicle. So
exciting.
But this is just like another reason not to own a Subaru.
Are they notorious for this?
Yeah.
Well, no, it's just like if you're not, I should be nice. What? I just think there's like Subarus are just really weird cars. No one should ever own them.
Okay.
Or is this the only make? Who makes Subaru? Or are they their own?
No. Subaru is the brand. It's the Outback and the Legacy model that are affected.
Okay, but Subaru's not owned by like Ford.
No, I don't. I'm not sure what the. No, they're their own company. Okay. They might be. Yeah, I don't know who. But they're. Some people like them, but. Okay. Yeah.
You don't.
No.
Okay. And I'm guessing you probably worked on a Subarus before.
A few, yes.
Okay.
Most of our customers are straight, though, so we don't see.
So stay away from Subaru.
All right, the second story, there is a 116-year-old Italian woman that has been declared on Thursday as the last person on Earth who was alive in the 1800s. She is now officially the oldest person in the world since Susanna Jones died in New York on Thursday. And she grew up in Verbania, Piedmont in Italy. And she says the secret to her long life is staying single and eating 3 raw eggs a day.
Staying single. So she thinks marriage and children add stress.
I guess. So it's good news for us.
I guess so. But I'm not sure I want to live that long if I'm just going to be alone.
I know. So you can either live a long, happy life, a long, sad life, or a short, happy life.
Yeah.
How about that?
And she was, to be fair, she was married briefly in the 30s, but her husband was abusive and she left him. and then she was single the rest of her life. But she did. She eats one boiled and two raw eggs every day.
And that's all she eats?
She eats some mincemeat, and then for supper she'll have a glass of milk.
Hold it. That's all.
Yeah.
Man, people don't need much to live on. Just some eggs and milk.
That seems so meager that it doesn't even sound healthy. It sounds like some kind of weird diet that you'd find, like, for women who are about to get married. They, like, try to find a way to, like, lose weight quickly, like, so they can fit in their wedding dress or something. And so it's like, you want mincemeat, three raw eggs, and a glass of milk. That's all you get every day for the next 3 months or something like that.
If you guys could choose to be, at some point, be the oldest person in the world, would you choose that?
No.
I the only way I would do it is if I could also choose my quality of life. I don't want to get to a point where, like, being alert is considered an achievement.
Well,
being alert is considered
an like where you can still move your eyes.
Oh,
but you're pretty much bedbound.
Who's the oldest person at Hillcrest, Layton?
I don't know, but like I know they're at least 103.
Would you want to be the oldest person alive? All the people that you care about and know
are dead.
Your great-grandchildren, you're just pretty much a nuisance to them at this point.
Why? They're not taking care of you. They're not like going around going like, oh, yeah, great-grandpa Layton, he's still alive. It's so annoying.
Yeah, but they're probably living with this guilt of, yeah, our great-grandpa Layton is still alive, and we should go see him, but we really don't want to.
So you think that I should just off myself so that they're not as depressed? They don't have to feel guilty.
Have guilt.
It's like,
no, that's
yeah,
not
if
what I'm
great
saying.
Grandpa Late would just kill himself, he'd feel a whole lot less guilty.
No, but back, we're being a little
right, facetious.
But so back to, would you want to be the oldest person alive?
I don't know, Ruben. I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, you're at that point.
I don't think so.
You're, you know, your wife or your at this. If you live that long, maybe your second or third wife has got to be dead by now.
Second or third wife.
Well, there's no way they're all living to be like 110 years old.
I guess if she, yeah, but if I can choose my quality of life, and if I can still have my wife like live as long as I do, or yeah, something like that, then I think I could deal with it. I mean, there's a lot of aches and pains.
But pretty
though.
Much, okay, but you're expecting, though, to have a good life. Like, you're going to be in pain, I'm sure.
Yeah, but they just pump you full of morphine and you're good to go.
Is that the life you want to live?
I mean, you also have people that just come up to you and be like, hey, you're this old. And then they ask you to, like, share a wisdom. And then you just, like, end up breaking open fortune cookies and just reading those off. And like, wow, that is so wise. Yeah, thanks.
you haven't answered this, Eric. Would you want to be the oldest person alive?
No. I know there's
no way. Too many cons to the pros.
Yeah. There's no.
But can you imagine like the things that you'd be able to tell people? Like, yeah, I was there when they came out with the first iPhone. And they'd be like, what's an iPhone? And it's like, it's a thing that you put in your pocket.
There was this company called Apple.
Yeah.
They made a great iPhone.
Okay, now the last story. Now, Ruben, you'll really enjoy this one. Ooh, so there's this huge wildfire in Canada.
That is mean, Eric.
Can we talk about that? Is the statute of limitations?
About it
you
already.
Have talked about
yeah.
it? Okay. Anyway, so
I burned down half of Canada.
I knew it.
So apparently it's in Alberta, and it is this huge forest fire that has been blazing out of control. From a few days, it went from 1,200 hectares to more than...
What is hectares?
220,000.
Hectare is similar to an acre, although I can't tell you which one's larger or to what degree.
Canada uses the metric system.
Yeah, I actually had to look it up, but a hectare is like...
Hold on, can I guess? I think a hectare is half the size of an acre.
Wrong. It's 2.4 times... It's 1 hectare is 2.4 acres.
That's pretty much what I said.
No. You said...
Oh, I said it the other way
that's
around.
That's so weird,
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
Shoot. So it was four times off.
So okay. And it grew to 220, which is about 540,000 acres. So, and it's...
That's a lot of area.
But the cool thing about
For
this...
For the record, that is more than what I burned down.
barely.
It's an unprecedented fire with respect to the rate it spread, how it involved the community, said Regional Fire Chief Darby Allen earlier this week. And this is from The Guardian. I'm forgetting to reference my sources, but if you doubt anything, just Google it. It's totally fine.
You can, but in fact, you can start referencing the French press as a source.
I heard on the French press, so must be true.
Now, they don't know what started the fire. They're guessing lightning. But this is what's really cool about this fire. The nasty, dirty fire, in the words of local fire chief, surprised scientists by igniting its own fire, said Mike Flanagan, who studies wildland fire at Edmonds University of Alberta. But listen to this. Fueled by tinder and helped along by unseasonably warm weather and low humidity.
This was started by an iPhone app?
The fire released a massive amounts of energy as it moved, creating its own weather and lightning. Fires that produce lightning are not unheard of, said Flanagan, but this one generated lightning and then generated new fire starts. So that's one reason it spreads so fast. That's pretty cool, right?
That is.
So I know you're wondering why we care if, you know, Canada burns to the ground, but I just thought this would bring back some memories.
It could cross over.
It could cross. We need to build a wall.
We do.
A firewall.
Trump is focusing on the wrong border.
Yes.
I want a wall along the northern part of
it. Do you think you can get Canada to pay for it? It's like, well, they'll pay for it, but it has to be built out of wood. Oh, man.
All right. I think we're ready to wrap it up. Thank you, Eric, for the news stories. Thank you, Leighton, for sharing about your time.
No probs.
Hopefully you didn't find any of this offensive if you're a listener. If you did, then you can tell us, and we'll
maybe we might have to come up with like a
code of conduct,
different website.
We could make our own. The French press. We need our own website. We could call censored. It VidPod or something, and then it would just insert a podcast, clean it up. There you go.
A podcast.
You call it, instead of VidAngel, you call it like French Angel or Audio Angel or something like that.
Audio Angel. That's a working title.
All right. What is our word of the week, Leighton?
Word of the week.
And you have to know, usually the word of the week gets worked into the title.
Right.
So I'd prefer you wouldn't have partial nudity as the word of the week.
I was going to say nudity. But since we don't want to do that, that we could just do.
I'm sure it would get a lot of hits, but.
We want to do it for fame.
Yeah.
I'd probably go with maybe like electricity or something like that. Kind of uneventful.
It is uneventful. I'm afraid it's not going to draw people in.
All right, fine then. Let's go with like Tinder.
Okay. All right. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you guys all next week. Thank you. Bye.